My name is Mike McNamara. I'm the new Senior Associate Minister here at St Alfred's. It's a delight to be here. My first Christmas in Melbourne and in Australia. And my father was from Point Cook, and I've come home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all we've sung of tonight and heard, for the wonder of the Christmas story, a true story of you, Lord God, coming into our world. And may we see new things in that greatest story ever told tonight, for your glorious sake. Amen. Well, I imagine that some of you have come here tonight with family or friends, and they're staying with you here in the eastern suburbs or nearby. And a special welcome to such visitors here tonight. And they will be your close family, your close friends, people you know well who are staying with you. No doubt other visitors will have come during 2013. And of course, there are always those visitors who sort of don't give you much warning and say, look, will it be okay for the five of us to come tomorrow for the weekend? You know, sorry, we've not been in touch. We've all had those kind of experiences. I remember a young man knocking on my door when I worked in East Africa in Tanzania. And I was working in a town in the north of Tanzania called Mwanza. And this young man, he knocked on my door. It was a Friday evening. And he said, would it be possible to stay for a bit? And I said, sure, you know, thinking it'd be for the weekend. And I said, how long are you planning to stay? He said, oh, about 4 months. Well, he did stay 4 months, and it was great to get to know him. And he was a nice guy. He was actually working as a volunteer for CMS Australia, New South Wales branch. Generally, I don't know about you, but I like plenty of notice so I can get ready and prepare for visitors and make the best of their stay. I call 700 years pretty fair notice, don't you? That's the number of years, roughly, between Isaiah's prophecy of our Lord, read by Peter at the very beginning of our service. For unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given. 700 years between that prophecy and the historic scene itself in Bethlehem at the stable. The only problem was that when the king did arrive, in spite of the advanced, in fact overwhelming notice of his visit, there was actually nowhere for him to stay, not even a bed to be born in. Those famous words say it all, don't they? There was no room for them in the inn. Are we seriously saying that the Son of God was born into our world and we weren't ready for him? That's exactly what we're saying. All of us have heard people complaining at a hotel reception desk, something along the lines of, the cake of soap was far too small. The croissants weren't warm enough, I thought. The colour scheme is slightly lacking in our room for the money we're paying. Not exactly major reasons for complaint. But here we have the one through whom the universe was made. The wonderful counsellor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He doesn't even get a room. It's the outhouse for him. It's shocking, isn't it? Thank goodness for the shepherds and the wise men. They at least go some way to saving the embarrassment of the rest of humankind. But as we know, rejection was a hallmark of Jesus' life. It began here at Bethlehem, and it ended at the cross, when the crowd who had cheered him through the streets on Palm Sunday jeered at him on Good Friday. How on earth could we have treated the Son of God like this? It's beyond our reckoning. He didn't deserve it. He did no wrong. He was the perfect visitor. Indeed, perfect in every way. He was sinless, faultless. He was divine, fully man and fully God. Yet he was nailed to a cross. And the extraordinary fact is, Jesus' visit to earth 2,000 years ago was planned for that very day, the first Good Friday. St. Paul writes, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And Jesus was very aware of what awaited him, and several times during his earthly ministry, he spoke of the betrayal, the arrest, and death, which he knew were to befall him. Well, you and I, wouldn't we have run in the opposite direction? Why suffer? Why face rejection? But thankfully for us, the Lord Jesus took a different view, which is described so well in these words in the New Testament. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Everything about Jesus' life and his character expressed enormous kindness. Kindness to 5,000 hungry people on a hillside. Kindness to the blind, to the lame, to the widow. Teaching about the friendship that men and women could have between God the Creator and themselves. When Jesus was born on earth at Bethlehem, God's kindness and love were being shown to us in a unique, real, historic, and powerful way. If you or I are ever tempted to think that God cares little for us in our personal struggles and journeys and hopes, and that we think they're of little concern to him, then we're to think again. I'm not sure what kind of a year you've had in 2012. Maybe it's been a tough year, a year of disappointment, perhaps unemployment, bereavement, illness, whatever it may be. The stable scene where the Savior was born tells us emphatically that whatever we face in this world, the God who made us cares utterly. He cares enough to leave the glory of heaven for a humble outhouse in an obscure part of the Roman Empire for you and for me. I call that wonderful. I call it remarkable. And when Jesus came, just as the angel had told the shepherds, he came as the Savior. To you is born this day in the town of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus, the Savior visitor, whom we weren't ready for and ultimately rejected, came down from heaven to do the very best thing he could do for us. He came to rescue us, to save us from our sins. And as Scripture says, he saved us not because of righteous or good things we had done, but because of his mercy. Yes, we've all done good things, of course we have. But unfortunately, God knows us rather well and knows the not-so-good things we've done too. Pity that, isn't it? But then he is God. The famous actor W.C. Fields, famous in sort of early 20th century Hollywood pictures, he never had much time for God, but he knew he was near the end of his life and he was bedridden and he was holed up in his bedroom. His manager walked in unannounced and found W.C. Fields reading the Bible. He knew the kind of life he'd lived. And his manager said, "What are you reading that for?" "Looking for a loophole." You don't need to. The Savior has come, born at Bethlehem, so we can be sure of a friendship with the God who made us. We've all done wrong. Humankind needs forgiveness and mercy, and that is exactly what Jesus provided. but at some cost, as we'll remember in the Holy Communion tonight. Thinking of our guests again, some guests overwhelm us with their generosity and kindness. They bring gifts of food and chocolates, a bottle of something. Maybe they take us out for a meal. But if we hadn't opened the door to them, we wouldn't have received a thing. The world shut the door on Jesus, the visitor at Bethlehem. But what was his response? It was kindness, love, salvation, rescue, and mercy. Jesus said from the cross, didn't he? Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. We didn't deserve such love and kindness. We never will. But the risen, living Lord Jesus has never stopped being generous. He once said, I've come that you may have life, life in all its fullness. That's why he came that very first Christmas. And his generous offer stands 2,000 years later. Let's take hold of it afresh this Christmas. I invite you to do that if you've known Christ all your years, or you're new to him, or you're still looking. There's a booklet just on a table outside in the foyer, if you'd like to take it. It's called The Real Christmas. Well worth a look at. Do take it. The Lord Jesus is the greatest Christmas gift of all time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and mercy, that you were the visitor we turned away, but you've never stopped loving us, caring for us, and calling us home to be with you. We thank you in your precious name. Amen.